So that's the end for me. This is Jean Sarrazin. I've been bringing you community events and local musicians for the last couple of hours. And I'm handing over the reins of power to Eddie Earwig and Rod Gilbank and company. So take it away, guys.
Hey, thanks,
have a
Sean.
Good show. My pleasure. Have thanks a good a show, lot. Guys.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Ed, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm going to play a little bit of a song before we start the show. Are you ready?
I am really ready for that.
All right. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm going to play this in the background.
Oh, you know what? I feel like we're at a real classy joint right now.
How excited were you when Cooley said we should do the show this week without him?
I was completely... I was actually a little surprised because I'm surprised he let me back after last week, you know. That whole mishap in the parking lot we had.
What happened in the parking lot?
Well, you know, he said, oh, you know, great job this week, and I slugged him in the face.
Wow, why would you do that?
I don't know.
The guy gives
just totally
you
a mistake, I guess.
He gives you opportunities to be on the radio, and this is what you repay him with.
Well, you know, some people just deserve it, and some people don't. I guess he was probably one of those people.
All right, so we got a big show. We got a big show coming up.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a few things here. We got some guests as well coming up.
Yeah, we got a guest coming up at 8:30, apparently.
8:30, we're going to have Taylor Ryden. He's been calling in the past few weeks, and he is going to bring a guest, I believe. I believe it's a Janie. I don't have a last name here, but they're going to talk about the big rigmarole they got going on at the Grand Barn next week.
I can't wait to hear about this.
I know. You got to be nice.
I love the Grand Barn. You're making me sound like I don't like it.
No, it's...
But I do have a history of giving Taylor a hard time.
You do give Taylor a hard time. But you know
but I'm
what?
Gonna be
it's
nice
all
today.
good fun. And yeah. If you didn't, I think it would be weird. So we'll play Good Cop, Bad Cop.
So we're going to do a movie-oriented show besides when Taylor comes in.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about some
movies. Yeah, so I picked two of my favorite movies, and you picked two of your favorite movies. And
yes.
We're just going to talk about them.
They are my favorite movies.
For real?
These are my favorite movies.
Are you lying?
No, I'm actually, when you told me this, I immediately was like, okay, this is unfortunately going to be a Jim Carrey show for me.
But, well, Jim Carrey in the 90s was like the king of the box office.
And that's when I was the king of the remote at my house.
All right, we're going to start it off with a song from one of his movies, and maybe at the end you can tell me which one it is.
Nice.
All right, gang, let's get this thing started, huh?
The people them want. Woman them a flex and the man them a chant. Cause the 60s style it off a comeback. Draw for your bell bottom black heel and frack. Boom shakala crude boy. You me tell him no sir. Say it wild, rock 'em.
Do you know what movie that song is from?
I totally know what movie that's from. That would be from one of my favorite movies of all time, the 1994 big hit Dumb and Dumber.
The smash hit.
The smash box office hit. Why is it like a smash a good thing, I guess? It's just, I don't know.
Did you see this movie in theater?
I did not see this movie in theater. In fact, the first time I remember being even introduced to it was my brother-in-law has one of the original posters that would be put up in the theaters when they were first advertised in his home. And I saw it there, and he's had it the whole time since. He still won't give it to me.
I think I saw this in the theater. I can't remember, though.
You don't remember?
I saw another Jim Carrey. I probably saw all the Jim Carrey movies in the 90s in theater.
Well, there was one thing I was reading here.
Maybe not the cable guy.
That year was a huge year for Jim Carrey.
Yeah, didn't he have
He was one of the first actors to ever have three hits go straight to number one in one year. It was The Mask, Ace Ventura, and The Pet Detective, and this one,
Dumb and Dumber. Yeah.
So that was
he must have made so much money in the 90s that, like,
he's probably still living off of that.
Well, he's still making big movies, isn't he? Like, I don't know. I haven't seen him in a... Yeah, he still
makes
big
movies.
Him
and his kids and his future kids and his future kids' kids are going to be pretty well
set up. The Carries.
The Carries.
The money will carry on very well. Yeah. Well, we both did a little pun there.
We're funny.
Okay, so you're listening to Vankly Cooley. Sean Cooley's not here this week. Rod Gilbank and Eddie Earwig, which is me, we're going to be talking about four movies in particular at around 8:30, which is really 8 in 15 minutes? Wow. Taylor's going to come in with a special guest. I don't know too much about the guest.
I don't know the guest either, but
maybe this is a good opportunity to get to know the guest.
This is going to be a perfect opportunity. We're going to ask them about the video shoot that they have going on this weekend down at the Grand Barn, where she'll be filming a music video, where they're actually looking for people to participate. Come down, dress up. Just apparently it's going to be a really fun time.
Yeah. Have you ever heard... Like, do you know what the most annoying sound in the world is?
You know what? I don't know.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio or something?
Radio? Who needs a radio? Ready, Harry? Mock!
Yeah!
Ing!
Yeah!
Bird!
Yeah!
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 Mockingbird! Don't everybody have you heard?
Have you heard?
She's gonna buy me a mockingbird! And if that mockingbird don't sing, she's gonna buy me a diamond ring!
And Lloyd, look, there's some people who want to ride too.
Pick them up.
Mock.
Sing.
Bird.
Sing.
Yeah, right.
That's one of my favorite scenes of the movie.
That is a fantastic scene.
When they pick up the hitchhikers.
They pick up the hitchhikers? Let's pick them up.
Yeah, I still do that.
Every time I see someone hitchhiking, that is the line.
I was actually in a car with you when you picked up a hitchhiker.
Oh my gosh,
we were in a van.
We were in a van to Hawkesbury, and there was a gentleman that I had seen before, so I figured he was a regular hitchhiker. He wasn't a killer, as 99% of them are.
Yeah, probably 99% of hitchhikers are serial killers.
Definitely. That seems like a very realistic stat.
I read that too. We must have been reading the same Reader's Digest.
Might have been, it's the one you leave in the bathroom, right? Here at the studio?
Yeah.
Yeah,
at
same
the
one.
Studio.
Yeah. So we picked him up, and I think he actually didn't have a seat to sit on. He sat on a spare tire in the back of a van.
He was happy, though.
He was happy. He just kept going.
We sang Mockingbird
with him. Mock-sing-ing-see.
He didn't speak English very well. I remember that,
yeah,
too.
He was very French.
Okay. What's another memorable?
Another really memorable part of that movie was they're in the diner. And they've just been robbed, I believe. They have no more money left over.
Who's the actor? He's a hockey player for the Boston Bruins.
Oh, geez. Is it Mike Fisher?
No.
No.
No, that guy played for the Ottawa Senators.
You know what? I'm not sure, but I'm sure we can find out.
Yeah. But he's been in a lot of Farrelly Brother movies.
He is, and he will be in the new Dumb and Dumber 2.
Seabass.
Coming back. His character he played was Seabass, a mean truck driver at a truck stop diner. And in the movie, they piss him off.
He's asking for it, though. I'm breaking the studio.
Oh, my God. The whole table just fell down.
But he's asking for it. What does he do to them to piss off Harry?
I
think we have a caller.
We have a caller.
No. Never mind. That was just in the background.
Just kidding. That was my ringtone. Fooled him. And
so what does he do? He spits
in their burger as payback for getting hit in the head with a salt shaker.
Yes, now I remember.
And you know what? They carry on. They're like, sorry, okay. So their plan is to go tell them that, hey, we're gonna buy you a bunch of brews. We're going to get you some beers. And you know what? It's just to bury the hatchet. Sorry about that. They go over to the place where you pay, and they decide that, you know what? We're going to trick this guy. We're going to actually tell her that he's paying the bill, and he waves at them, and he waves back saying,
because he wants the beer.
He thinks he's getting the beer, right?
Yeah.
So, and they go, sure, we'll put it on his tab. And from that moment, in that moment when he's saying, where did you think of that? Lloyd, played by Jim Carrey, says, I think I saw it in a movie once.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that movie was actually
movie. The name of the he actually references a real movie.
Yeah, he references a real movie called Something Wild from 1986.
Yes.
That Jeff Daniels plays in. And that's his character that uses that trick.
Do you want to help me with the mic here? We have a caller.
Yeah, we're going to answer this call. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to Vankley Cooley.
How's Eddie?
Yes, I'm Eddie. Are you looking for me?
I'm looking for you, Eddie. What's new?
May I ask who's speaking, please?
Well, it's really a surprise. I came to town to visit you.
Is this Eddie's mom?
Mom, is that you?
Who do you think it is?
Mom, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Mom, wow. I mean, Eddie's mom.
But you got rid of your Spanish accent.
And learned English extremely well.
Yeah, you speak very clearly.
Of course I do. I'm English.
You're English.
Hey, this isn't Eddie's mom. Who is this?
I'd like to ask Eddie
As long as you're talking.
I think she's telling Gilbank to butt out.
You know what? Okay, I'll butt out. You can talk to Eddie, and you have my full permission.
Thank you very much.
This is turning into a...
That's interview the DJ.
An interview of Eddie Earwig.
Hello, Eddie?
Yes.
When are you going to make the nice mural that you said you were going to make for the town of Bentley
Kill? It's not on my list because I don't remember saying that I would do that.
I think you did.
I did do that. I did say that?
Well, actually, isn't that the mural you've been working on in your bathroom on the wall?
I don't think so.
No? No. Oh, no, that was me, and that might not be paint.
Isn't it the mural that's going to advertise your wedding and we're all going to get to come to your reception?
Wait a second. You're getting married?
Yeah. What's the next question?
The next question is, are we all invited to the reception?
I don't know who this is, so possibly?
Possibly. Only possibly.
You had a solid maybe.
Possibly.
A solid maybe?
Are you at a party, ma'am?
Am I at a party?
Mom, are you at a party?
Somebody's mom might be at a party. I don't know.
It almost sounds like a distinct Henderson laugh in the background, actually.
Was that a Henderson laugh?
Seriously, a Henderson laugh. Do people laugh at that? No.
It's a very specific laugh. It seemed like we were able to spot it out. Do you have any other questions, caller?
Oh, looks like we lost the caller.
We lost the call. They must have been driving into a tunnel.
Must have been driving in a party through a tunnel.
Yeah, like a party bus. And they went through a tunnel. You got grilled pretty hard there, Eddie.
I don't know who that was, and it was definitely not my mother, even though I call her my mother.
Yeah. Well, you know, I almost did too. So, I mean, but that's a normal thing I do every day.
You call everyone your mother.
Sometimes I go to the bank. Hey, Mom.
Let's talk about Dumb and Dumber once again. Let's wrap it up with Dumb and Dumber. We'll play a couple more songs. Do you know how much money it costs to make Dumb and Dumber? I have that stat right here.
I heard that it took $7 million to pay Jim Carrey, and that was half of the cost. Is that correct?
It took, the budget was $17 million. So, close to half.
Wow.
And I wonder how much Jeff Bridges got paid if he got, not Jeff Bridges, Jeff Daniels got paid if Jim Carrey got $7 million.
I bet he got peanuts because he was originally brought in at $700,000.
Wow.
But that movie was so big for him, they ended up needing to renegotiate.
So, in the box office, it made $247,275,374, right down to the dollar.
That is amazing.
That's crazy.
That's fantastic.
They made so much more.
They're going to make that and more again. I think it's this upcoming weekend, if not the next, that they're coming out with Dumb and Dumber 2 with the same actors, yeah. The same...
Did you watch any of the other... I think they made another one called Dumb and Dumber.
They made Dumb and Dumberer with totally different actors, totally different directors. It was all different, and it was terrible.
Yeah, there were some funny parts. You know why I thought it was funny? Because the kid who played Jim Carrey's Lloyd?
Yeah.
He actually looked and sounded like Jim Carrey.
They did well. Oh, that's another fun fact. Jim Carrey's tooth that's missing, like half missing... Yep. That was from a previous injury, and he actually had the cap removed. And like that was totally normal. Like he did it to look still has more that. Disgruntled.
He probably has to do it again for the new movie. I also read that Steve Martin and Martin Short were both turned down for the role that Jim Carrey took.
Yeah.
That would have been weird, huh?
That, I don't know if I would have loved the movie as much. I mean.
Jim Carrey is a funny guy.
He had the character down.
Another fact, I don't know if you have that on your little fact sheet, but it's the film debut of Harlan Williams. Do you know who that is?
He had a film debut of Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, he plays the cop that drinks the pee by accident.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a Canadian comedian. He's in a lot of movies after that, but that was his first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's play another song. Do you want to hear another
song? Let's play some tunes.
I'm going to hear some tunage.
This
is a song from Dumb and Dumber, and I remember seeing the video, and Jeff Daniels is in the video.
Oh, nice.
He wears a pumpkin head.
Around bed the storming and house
Peter Pumpkinhead right there, yeah. Here on Vankly Cooley.
Peter Pumpkinhead.
Your mic.
Sorry, I just turned my own mic down.
I didn't want to even listen to you. So it worked out
that
well.
That was you that turned my mic down.
I know, you didn't see me.
All right, so what I wanted to bring up to ask you was another favorite scene of the movie that you like, of Dumb and Dumber.
Probably one of my favorite scenes has to be when they've decided that Lloyd was going to drive, and they drive in the absolute opposite direction of Aspen, which was their goal. And they end up in the middle of nowhere, and they're in their van. It breaks down. It doesn't break down. They're just on the side of the road.
They run out of gas or something.
Yeah, Harry
they?
Takes off. They run out of gas. Harry takes off. And then all of a sudden, Lloyd has traded the huge dog van for a maybe 2-horsepower moped.
Yep.
And drives in from way out in the distance and comes in, picks him up. He's like, well, you know what? This thing, this puppy gets 20 miles to the gallon. And decides that they're going to go to Aspen on that. And
Doesn't he pee on him?
It's before that. It's a great moment where Harry just looks at him and says, just when I think you can't go and get any stupider, you come here and you totally redeem yourself. That's just fantastic. That's probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
Which brings us to nothing.
We have a guest that just came in.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm going to turn up Janie's mic.
How are you, Janie?
All right.
We have Janie here in the studio because she's here, going to be with Taylor. We're here to talk about some new music.
Well, we're talking about new music, but we're also talking about putting Vankly Kill on the map.
I love that.
Put Vankly Kill more on the map.
Yeah, we're going to it's going to be in bold.
Joint
it's
effort.
Underlined. It's going to be in a weird italic. On the, every map.
In Comic Sans.
Well, no.
Maybe Google will find us.
It'll be fantastic.
So I've known Janie for a few years now. You did some t-shirts when I worked over at Trophy Hill, and we sort of kept touch with Facebook, and you're doing music. You said you got back from a crazy trip.
Yes.
And you're a little jet-lagged.
Yes, I am.
I want to hear about the trip.
Well, it all started out with an invitation to the Carimex Martinique. So Martinique is a small island in the Caribbean, and it happens to be part of France because it's a French colony, although you'd never know it.
Do they speak French there?
Yes, Creole. So I'm not very good at Creole either. So anyhow, I was invited for this this Carimex. Carimex is actually an international salon, if you'd like, or a marketplace for Caribbean music.
Okay.
And they fished me out of Canada. I'm not very Caribbean itself, but I do this kind of hybrid jazz. And it has a lot of the Latin flavors. So they somehow got a hold of me and they invited me. So I got a formal invite and I was the first showcase starting off this Carimex. So I played on the Friday night and the crowd was just crazy. If you can imagine like going to a Canadiens hockey game.
Yeah. Where people Montreal Canadiens hockey
yeah,
game.
Yeah, when they're standing up and they're chanting, way-oh, and all of that stuff, right? Because they want more and they're all pumped. Well, that crowd was exactly like that first time in my life ever.
Wow. Crazy, excited crowd.
And they wouldn't let go, and the presenter had been standing on the stage for 15 minutes after my show trying to introduce the next show, and people wouldn't let go, and it was amazing.
Trying to bring you back. That's fantastic.
So they had to fish out the director of the Carimex somehow. And this guy came on stage and said, okay, guys, you need to quiet down. We have a schedule to follow. We have, you know, a number of acts. And they wouldn't let go until he promised that he would get me back on stage. So he got me back on stage on the major stage on the Sunday night.
Wow.
And so that was like a double whammy for me. I wasn't expecting that.
Crazy.
So
that sounds
I also exciting. Toured Martinique for an entire 2 weeks. The island has 80 kilometers by 30.
That's
how can
it.
You possibly do a 2-week tour on there? I did the Club Med.
I did
it. It was just amazing. So I had a blast there. And then I came back very shortly for a few days and left for Spain at the World Music Exposition, which is the largest music exposition for world music. And that was in Saint-Jacques-de-Compostelle. And I was there for a week drumming up business. I got offered all kinds of really nice deals, like touring India and Austria and Germany. And so anyhow, this has just been hectic. And then followed that by a two-week France promo tour because my songs have been playing on the radio over there. So I did like 69 radio stations over there.
That is a lot of radio stations.
That's a great number of stations.
That is a number, let me tell you. And I had no voice when I came back.
So they're asking you all types of questions. What's the weirdest question that you got asked?
If I want to be a big star. I don't plan on growing any bigger.
Wow.
That's funny.
Yeah, so there's a saying that goes, you're never a prophet in your own country. Nobody cares that I'm doing my groceries here in Van Vliet Kill.
Yeah.
But over there, it was twilight zone for me.
Being a bit of it like a big celebrity.
Well, I mean, can you imagine you're walking on a beach, you're virtually unknown before you get there. You're walking on a beach and this guy is jumping over dunes and running over and saying, I saw you on the news, you're that Canadian lady. You sing like, wow, it's great.
It's a celebrity. Celebrity city.
That is full out celebrity
right
there.
I have no idea what's hitting me, right?
My God.
So it's been quite a haul. I've just got back. And so next year I'm going to be toting my luggage.
So you're back home for a little while then?
I'm here for a few weeks.
Wow.
Are you playing at the Grand Bar?
You know what? That's a secret.
Oh, sorry.
I will be playing. Yes, I will be playing there. But after we finish shooting a video.
Rod, Eddie, and one of the listeners knows that you're playing at the Grand Bar. I want to play one of your songs, but I can't play your USB key, which you brought in. But you brought some CDs, and we're going to play a song off the CD.
Okay. What's your fancy? What would you rather have?
I want to hear something
upbeat and fun.
Yeah.
Upbeat and fun.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what my answer is to everything.
Oh, I'm in for that.
Upbeat and fun.
So, upbeat and fun. So, you're going to either take the one that's actually rolling a lot in France is the 11th, L'Homme Lumière, or the last one, Comme un Talisman.
I want the one where the French people are going ballistic for. What's that one?
11th.
All right. We're
that's
gonna
number
play
11?
Track 11.
Track 11. Can I, before we start playing this, can you tell me why it's such a secret that you're playing at the Grand Barn?
Well, it's because I'm technically
people are
going to
start flying over from
France. I'm there to make a video. And we're just going to.
And the song hasn't been released yet, too.
No.
This is Taylor's voice you're listening to right now.
And hello, Taylor Ryden's here. Taylor's just going to pull up a chair. He's going to hop on the mic here.
Hey. Disembodied voice.
Taylor Ryden, who owns the Grand Barn, right?
Family-owned.
Family-owned. You're one of the main operators.
He's not got that big chuckle on.
I can't take that, yeah.
One of the main operators, the magic maker of the Grand Barn.
So there's a show happening at the Grand Barn, and nobody's supposed to know that Janie's playing.
Yeah, we're playing after.
Yeah.
We're jamming.
It's a sneak peek.
Sneak peek. Only brought to you by Bankley Coulee.
Anybody who's got an instrument or can actually play spoons, they're welcome.
You can play the spoons, can't you, Gilbank?
I used to be able to play the spoons, but I retired because I got too famous in France.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even walk along the beach. It was
really?
Ridiculous.
I heard stories like this. People just
beach in France.
It only happens to the super famous.
People were jumping the dunes
it was
for
insane.
You.
They were jumping the dunes, and they were like, you're that Canadian boy that plays this wooden spoons, yes? And I was like, okay, calm down. I need to get out of here. And that's why I quit, and I started working at the brewery.
That's a good story. That's one of those stories that you'll just never forget. So we're gonna play a song off Janie's CD. Do you know what's the title of this song?
L'Homme Lumière. It means the man of light.
The man of light. This is the debut of the song in Canada.
No,
it has
it's
not.
The debut of being played on Van Vliet Kill.
There
you go.
All right, let's see if this works.
Libre de suivre le vent du nord. J'ai préféré mettre le cap au sud.
Une autre solitude.
J'ai pour boussole mon désarroi. Où tu te caches, Casanova? que je repars. Si un élément de sang bagnole en quêteur de mon âme lumière, partie sans bagage excédentaire. Je suivis le premier vent de l'ouest, comme un fou qui a perdu son adresse, comme une orpheline de tendresse. Je le cherche dans chaque saison.
Alrighty, you're listening to Vankly Cooley, and we got a couple of guests in the studio right now. Some music playing in the background. It's a little louder than I thought.
That was fantastic.
You're listening. That was Janie playing. What's the CD called?
Les Valises.
Les Valises. What does that translate to?
The suitcases.
Suitcases.
The suitcases. My mother is listening in, actually. Just sent me a message saying she loves your voice. And she thinks your music's great, but she doesn't know what you're saying.
Oh, well.
Purely because she's very English.
I have to get a translated version for you.
But she says she likes it, so that's very good.
I do sing in English.
You have my mother's approval.
I just haven't recorded in English yet.
Cause is she not being able to hear her because she's not close to the mic? Maybe? Possibly?
Maybe. So we got a caller here.
Yeah, caller.
Hello, caller. Welcome to Vankly Cooley.
Hello? Hello, can you hear us?
Hello?
Is this a speakerphone?
The speaker's on.
I can hear them through the handset, so the speaker's not on.
Just a moment.
Hold on tight. We're just trying to figure out how the phone works.
I don't see a speaker icon anywhere.
No dunes here. Just dudes.
Are we coming through this?
There we go.
Oh, I think we got it now.
Hello, caller.
Hello, Eddie.
Hello, this is Rod Gilbank speaking here.
Oh,
but
I'm looking for Eddie.
Oh, okay. You're looking for Eddie.
Eddie.
Is this my father?
No.
Who is this?
Who's your father? Your father is the same as my father? Do we have the same father or different mothers?
Speaker, who am I speaking to?
Her mother?
Who am I speaking to right now?
No, I haven't told them.
That's not important.
It's definitely important here, or else I'm going to have to hang up on you. Hello?
Hello?
Eddie.
I think we have a bad connection.
Technical. I think we lost him.
Oh, wow. The unknown caller.
Unknown caller. Sorry, caller. But definitely call back. If maybe a little bit later in the show.
The unknown caller who wouldn't say his name.
That's two of them tonight.
Yeah, how about we just make that the rule for tonight? If you don't say who you are,
we hang up on you.
That's a pretty good.
Fair is foul and foul is fair.
All right, Taylor, we're going to get you to ask Janie some questions here because you seem to know Janie the best out of all of us.
And you can talk about what's happening this weekend.
Okay.
There you go.
Talk to the light.
All right. Well, Janie, I just want to start. So what got you into music?
Wow. I think I fell into it when I was a kid. I've been singing ever since I can remember, really.
And you're from around here?
I am. I'm from Saint-Eugène.
Wow, that's really close.
Yeah, not far. I actually came to school at the convent here, just down the street.
Yeah, that's near where Rod Gilbank lives.
There you go.
Yes, that is.
That's on Higginson.
And then VCI.
VCI, yeah.
You went to VCI?
Yeah, I did.
Gilbank went to VCI. Taylor, what high school did you go to?
VCI as well.
Wow.
There you go.
I didn't go to VCI.
What? How come?
Because I didn't grow up around here.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I should have.
Many, many things according to his file.
So yeah, I'm from here and always grew up in this neck of the woods and then went to university. I'm actually an occupational therapist in real life.
Wow.
So I practiced occupational therapy for several years, but I did have a bit of a career from 1986 till about 92. And then I married and I wanted kids and I couldn't see myself being on the road and trying to raise kids at the same time. So I kind of gave up singing. And 6 years ago, I had a big life change and I thought, oh, what am I doing with this? And I sat back at the piano and started writing songs again. And then there was this album and it's been magic ever since.
Yeah. Okay, so now, so you've recently come back from a tour out in Martinique. How did that go?
Awesome. I was just telling you guys.
Yeah, there was people that just fell in love with her. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just amazing. It was this incredible receptivity, and people over there are very open to new kinds of music, to new people. And I must say over there, I was the minority. I'm white.
Yeah.
Everybody else.
Yeah, you are white. Yeah. For the listeners out there, she's a white woman.
I'm very pasty white. And aside from that, well, it was a shock being there because you can imagine 34 degrees Celsius during the day, 80% humidity level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm croaking. I don't think we've ever had that here. And it's just so warm that even the people from Martinique are complaining about the warmth.
You know that it's hot
when they're
when the locals are complaining. Yeah.
So aside from that, trying to sing in that heat on an outdoor stage was just the biggest challenge of my life. I thought I was gonna die right there, you know, with the extra lights and everything.
Yeah. But it paid off. People love you.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's great.
Understand. So now you've found like another manager for more touring. And
I've actually secured an international manager, which is the next step. Those are usually international managers are hard to find because you need to be at a certain level of proficiency or be known enough or
like Celine Dion.
Enough potential. Yeah, well, Celine.
Celine Dion, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows who that is?
Yeah.
We had her on the show last week, I believe.
So, because international touring means also a lot of responsibilities, a lot of liability, a lot of issues with the instruments also. So you can imagine bringing an upright bass on a plane when they destroy guitars. An upright bass is like in the neighborhood of $12,000 if you're going to buy one.
Yeah.
So you just want to, you know, and it's your instrument or it's, and you're very attached to it. So you don't want to get a rental everywhere you go. It's huge. It's a lot of issues to deal with. So those guys, when they show up and they say, well, I'm willing to step up and put some money behind you, it's amazing.
Nice. Yeah. Do you travel just alone with your instrument, or do you have other people that travel with you?
I have actually in Canada, I've been able to avoid traveling an awful lot because I will travel alone, but I have a crew. I have musicians in Toronto, I have musicians in Ottawa, and I have musicians in Montreal.
Oh, wow.
So those are basically the places that I play, and it's been easier. If I need to travel in Quebec, I'll take the Montreal guys and whatnot.
That's fantastic.
And the international guys are the Montreal ones because they're...
Oh, nice. And they go with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very cool. And that works out really well for you because it's so close to Vancouver.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of everything. Yeah, I love it.
Vancouver is the hub of Ontario. As far as I know.
Yes.
I keep telling people, you know, it's an hour to Montreal, an hour to Ottawa, an hour to the States border.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Now, with the 50, it's an hour to Mont-Tremblant or, you know, the Hollywood of Canada. We're
Hollywood
it.
Hollywood of Canada.
This is
it.
The hub.
The Vancouver.
And we've got Bose.
And we have Bose. Oh,
well, Bose beer.
Let's not forget.
We almost went 20 minutes without mentioning Bose. That would have been bad. It'd be a very irregular Vancouver.
I'm addicted, so I don't know about you guys.
Am I allowed to bring up the secret show or no? Keep bringing it up. I'm sorry.
So yeah, we've got a music video.
There's a music video.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Oh, we're getting there. Well,
yeah. So you've got this upcoming project that you've got a grant with. Tell us more.
I received a grant from the Ontario Arts Council to actually do my very first video. So I'm not really a true artist until I have a video, apparently. So as with everything else, you see the album cover was shot in, do you know the McDonnell Williamson house in Pointe-Fortin?
No, but it is a very nice cover. That cover is very eye-catching.
Well,
can you describe it to us, Kilbank?
Oh, this is going to be great. And it might be insulting.
There's a white woman on it.
Someone who I have no idea who it would be. Mm-hmm. You are sitting on what looks to be the floor?
Vintage couch.
Or a vintage couch.
No, actually the couch is up there.
No, see, yeah, I was right. You're sitting on the floor in front of a nice old vintage couch. There's a small blanket. The lettering saying the title of your album, which is?
Les Valises.
Which means luggage.
Luggage is, it's very thin writing with your name underneath.
Yes.
And the back of the CD is luggage.
Is it really luggage?
It's a whole bunch of luggage. But yeah, so that's a very nice cover. You're asking the wrong person to describe this. Just so you know. It's not because...
So I'll tell you the story about this.
Yeah.
I definitely, everything I do is about, I have two major ideas in my life. One of which is to be as eco-friendly as possible. Mm-hmm. And the other one is to use local landmarks because I'm from here, I care. And I want people to know where this is. So, for example, one of the first videos I shot was at the St. Raphael Ruins.
Yeah, I've been there before. It's awesome.
Yeah, and the acoustics are really neat in there.
A lot of people said that would be a really fantastic place to shoot a video.
Yes.
Yeah. You shot a video there?
Yes, I did. It's not out yet.
Oh, this is the one we're talking about.
No.
No, we're not. Okay.
No.
This is the other secret.
Just kidding.
One.
No.
That's a different video.
I mean, what?
No. This is all part of a big strategy. So you have to appreciate that sometimes, you know, we're one year, we're planning 1 year ahead of things that we've got upcoming.
Oh, nice.
It's, but that's the way it is in the music business. It's really long-term, long-range planning.
Now, what are you guys looking for from the community in this project? Anything?
Well, the idea is this next video is going to be shot at the Grand Barn,
which
is a local staple.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
I discovered the Grand Barn last summer. I was invited to go for a jam. I had a blast. I loved it. And I thought, I need to show people what we're all about here.
Wicked. Yeah.
So when I received this grant, I contacted Jean-Francois, whom we're going to hear. He's going to phone in later.
Yeah, is he calling in today?
He's on call. So I mean,
he's on call.
We'll give the go-ahead.
Yeah, give the go-ahead. We should talk to him.
And Jean-Francois is actually a producer from Ottawa, a young producer from Ottawa. And he works for TV Rogers also.
I think he's been on the show before, hasn't he?
He has.
He has been on the show before. And he's calling in now. Great.
Cool. So Jean-Francois is basically, we got together, we hammered out a scenario, and we got him to actually meet Tyler and to go at the barn, and he fell in love with the place just the same way I did. So here we are with this plan of shooting the first commercial video there will be.
Nice.
And it's actually about, I think it's a song. It's a song that's not on the album. So we're going to launch it as a separate CD, but on a DVD.
And you brought the song, but we can't play it, right? Yes. Is that the one?
Yes.
Unfortunately, I can't.
Unless you have it on a CD.
Yeah.
Do you have a jack?
Yes, I do. You have it on your phone?
You have it?
Yeah.
Oh,
excellent.
Goodness.
Now okay, we can hear it.
I have to get my little plug thing off.
All right. Well, we got JF calling in here. Maybe we can set that up.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Hello, caller. Welcome to Vankly Cooley.
Hi, this is JF.
Hey, JF. How are you?
Doing good yourself?
Doing very well, very well.
We were just talking about you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
what a coincidence.
Good things.
So I just finished saying that I got a grant from the Ontario Arts Council. Yeah. And that I basically got in touch with you and I wanted you to produce my upcoming video that we're shooting at the Grand Barn here in Ventley Kill.
Mm-hmm. We are all very excited.
Yes. So you want to tell us about your side?
Yeah, I want to hear about this video.
Yes, definitely. Well, when I first heard the song, I definitely spoke with Jenny about where the song comes from. And, you know, the song comes from a place where she was describing a friend of hers that was in a bad relationship, essentially. And, you know, we've all been in bad relationships and sometimes.
I'm currently in a bad relationship with Rod Gilbank.
Yeah. I didn't think we were going public.
Maybe you can star in the video too, Eddie.
Yeah,
we'll give you a cameo.
There you go. So sometimes when we're in a bad relationship, we're pretty much blind to it, except all the others around us that see us in that bad relationship. And sometimes we're a little bit naive and we don't really realize it at a certain point. And then sometimes it takes, you know, a best friend or a family member or somebody that you care about a whole lot to actually tell you, look, dummy, get out of this relationship.
Get out of the relationship, you dummy.
Yeah. And I think we've all been in that sort of relationship. And so what I wanted to illustrate in the video essentially is that. So it's basically a man, like there's going to be a main character that's going to be played by Mark Slack, a local actor in Ottawa, who's played in some really impressive films, and he's got a great body of work, and he's going to be really, really cool to showcase in that video. But what's going to be as really cool as well is that we're going to be combining him and other men that will be playing that same situation. So we're going to really be able to illustrate the emotions that go through that. And while we're doing that, Jenny will be on stage, and she's going to be sort of like doing a sermon up there and telling them, look, get out of this relationship. So we're going to do a play.
Get out of the relationship, dummy.
Yeah, exactly. That's not an actual line in the song.
That'd be good if it was.
That's a line in the song.
That would be the radio edit.
But that's the subtext to the whole song. So we're really excited. I was enthralled by that location from the get-go. It's such a beautiful space. It's got a lot of history, and it's fun to practice art in those types of locations. So we're really looking forward to it.
We do have the song. We actually have the song. Taylor hooked it up. And so do you want to?
Would you say this is the first time it's been played on air?
It is. Nobody has ever heard this song on air.
That's fantastic. Right here, Vankly Cooley.
Are you guys ready for this? What's the song called?
Blues Tattoo.
Blues Tattoo. Right here on Vankly Cooley.
Elle t'a eu par le temps. Après les injures, elle t'en voulait autant. Elle t'a fait perdre la tattoo.
All right, that was Blues Tattoo right here on Vankly Cooley on Vankly FM.